all these things. And having summoned a certain two of the disciples of him, John sent to the Lord, saying, Are you the one coming, or for another should we be looking? So John was John the Baptist, and he had disciples, and he was wondering. You know, he was facing death, actually. He was wondering, you know, remember this kingdom of God thing I was announcing, and you're going to be the king of it? You think you could hurry it up a little bit? Are you the one? I mean, that's got to be sure on this, because I think they're about to chop my head off. I think they're going to cut my head off. How many know you can lose your head when you're a Christian? I mean, if you follow Jesus, you could lose your head. You could lose your mind, at least. You could lose something by following Jesus. And so John was curious about that. Hey, wait a minute, I baptized you in the Jordan. I remember that. And I remember the Holy Spirit came down and looked to me like, yeah, I knew you were the one. Remember, I even said, repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. And then I said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And then I said, here's the one greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Remember, John said all that. So you're saying, you know, now wait a minute, wait, I got to ask you something, because I'm about to get my head chopped off and I'm concerned about this. Are you he that was the one sent? That's what I've been telling everybody. I've been telling my disciples, and I think I'm going to perish. And before I do, I just want to make sure, because I only had 6 months at this. My ministry's almost up. I just got started. And I was announcing you, and because of that, they're wanting to kill me. How many know that John had a bad job? That's a bad job. That's a bad job. He only had 6 months. Joey only had half a year. He just barely got started, and his ministry's over. And he was a pretty good preacher, too. In fact, everybody was going out to him to get baptized, and the Jews got mad at him for one reason or another, actually. And then Herod, he got really mad, because remember, John said something about, well, you're not supposed to take your brother's wife. He said, but she's cute. She's cute. I liked her. So I took her. Do you remember that? So, John, you know what John, said of that? You know what John said of that? He said, you took your brother Philip's wife, and here's the deal. That's incest. You're not married. I did too. I married her. No, you didn't. That's incest. And your daughter is not legit. What? Chop his head off. So, That's what John is facing. He knows he's got him in there because he's trying to quiz him, and he's going to kill him because of following. Sometimes when you follow Jesus, bad things happen. Anybody aware of that? A bad thing could happen. Bad things can happen to you. It's kind of pretend like you don't know him. I think a few of you have caught on to that. When you go to work, like, don't let anyone know. And when you're going down the driveway and you know, you ride around the road and you go to a store, don't say anything. When you go to a restaurant, don't pray. You know, don't let people know because they could maybe be mad at you. How many know that we're ashamed of Jesus these days? And you know, if you speak up for him, anyone that lives a godly life will be persecuted. How many know at school, some of you kids, if you go to school and tell about Jesus, the other kids, you know, they might persecute you. Teachers might persecute you. Did you all know that? So, you got to be careful these days. Jesus is not popular anymore. He used to be. Remember when the founders founded this place? Kind of a Christian thing then, but now post-Christian. Post-Christian, not post-Christian. You know, hide him. Don't put him right out there on your bumper. Don't wear one of those crosses on your neck, you know. Be ashamed of him. You remember what Jesus said? If you'll be ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you when you get upstairs and Father checks you over. So you got a problem right there. I mean, no, you got a problem. Because here's what he said. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, well, it's the trouble I was thinking of avoiding. How many know that a lot of teenagers try to avoid that? Try to get as close as they can to the world without actually jumping in. As far as they can from their parents without actually leaving them. You know, you can't tell where they are. They're not in the world. They're not really under Jesus. They're kind of like nowhere. No, I haven't given up God yet, but no, I haven't said no to the world either. So you can't tell. Does anybody notice that? I mean, teenagers seem to do that. They don't know. You know, yeah, mom, you know, but, you know, I want to try my friends a little bit here. And, well, be careful. You might fall right down into the world, you know, and you won't be able to get back up. No, I'm not going that far. How far can they live? Right on the edge. Boy, they can do it. Whoa. They're just trying to just get it exact. I mean, that's not easy for kids, right? See, people are ashamed of Jesus. And today, if you lived in a Muslim country, don't speak up, because they'll kill people like that. They hate you. Amen? Do y'all understand this? So John was saying, you know, Jesus, ever since I got identified with you, things haven't been going so well. I had a really good baptism thing going till I baptized you. Remember that dove thing came down? I said, yeah, he's the one, so on and so forth. But I'm running out of customers these days, and Herod's got me all locked up. So when you're a Christian, you could suffer. How many know that that's okay? That's a good thing. Hey, nothing wrong with that. How many know that there's a lot of things in life that can cause troubles to you? We're not scared, are we? We're not scared of that. Amen? Let's hear an amen. We're not scared of that. We're not scared of the big bad wolf. We ain't scared. There's nothing under our bed. I'm not worried. So when you follow Jesus, you better really, 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 really love him. Because some other people won't love you. They're jealous of you. Some hate you. Some are just jealous of you. But you'll really have few friends. How many know that friendship with God is enmity with the world? But friendship with the world is enmity with God. So you've got to make a choice. Am I going to go into the world, or am I going to go back to God? How many know that he might keep you in a bad marriage? And he might make you smile. You know, and the whole time, you know, you're wanting to kind of like get a little freedom, a little self, fulfillment. Hey, you have a right to be happy, Alice. I thought so too. But I'm married to Dick, and he's a jerk. And so Alice has to make a decision. Is she going to go into the world and try to find happiness in the world apart from Christ? Or is she going to go to Jesus and, you know, he always answers everything. Can I divorce Dick? No. Okay. Can I be sad? No. What can I do? Love him. Oh, isn't that funny? That is funny. I don't think a lot of Christians have it down. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. How many know that you have to be happy all the time? This is the way it is with Jesus. He doesn't want any miserable-looking Christians. He doesn't want any miserable-looking Christians. He wants everybody happy all the time. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. You know, and you're always happy, right?
Right.
You're never sad. You're never sad. No matter what happens, count it all joy when you face various trials, difficulties, problems, things. Count it all joy. Everything's going your way. If God be for you, we're not worried about the big bad wolf. We're not worried about the devil. What's the devil? What's the devil? What's a little suffering? Hey, suffering's good for you. I'll tell you right now, suffering is good for you. Because the only thing that suffers when you suffer is your flesh. It's not your spirit. How many know the spirit can't be drowned? The spirit can't be burned. You can't burn spirit in the fireplace. You just can't. You can only burn flesh. Ow! That was your flesh. Did you hear me? The spirit never gets angry. When you get angry, that was your flesh. Did you hear what I just said? When you get like, I'm scared, that's your flesh. Boo. How many know that there's nothing? Everything's going your way. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Even when you suffer, it's good for you. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. I mean, the suffering's not bad. It just hurts your flesh. That's the whole idea. That's your whole prayer is, God, whatever it takes, I want to suffer till I get my flesh burned out. And all that's left is love. Amen? That's pure worship. That's pure worship. Now, let's see if you've learned anything for the last, what? Where are we now? 4 months? 3 months? 3 months. Let's see if you've learned anything. What's the first and most important thing we've seen, kind of a pattern? What's the most important thing we've seen? Presence. Okay? Number one, presence. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are... All right, so the first thing we learned, very first lesson we learned, is God is present. Number two, what's the second thing we learned? When God is present, he does something. What? He speaks. Okay, what is the word that the Lord speaketh? What kind of word? Okay, he speaks the truth. Okay, now, grace and truth came through Jesus. So is Moses speaking the truth? I tricked you, didn't I? Is Moses speaking the truth? All right, here's the answer. Yes and no. Because it says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. That means that wasn't from Moses. So here's the deal. If you're under the law, he spoke the truth. But if you're under grace, he didn't speak the truth. Because grace is the truth. Because truth is a person. And Jesus said, I am the truth. Moses couldn't say, I'm the truth. Moses bore witness to the truth. So you see the authority of any man that comes and shows up, who's present, who visits the earth. When God shows up in somebody. When God comes. Maybe he comes himself. Maybe he uses somebody like Moses or Abraham or David. Or Jesus, or Paul, or me. You speak to anybody. So presence, that's the first thing. When presence comes, it speaks the truth. But that truth is always about grace. And grace has two parts to it. One, mercy. How many know that God is merciful to sinners? I'm telling you, that's good news right there. That is good news right there. Well, it's not good news if you're not a sinner. But it's good news if you are. Amen? I mean, that is not good news if you're perfect. That's not good news at all. But it is good news if you're wicked. How many here are wicked? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from Jesus, I'm not talking about if you're in Jesus, but apart from Jesus, you're wicked as all get out. All right, now let's say you get into Jesus. Then are you wicked? No, because of mercy, you're now a saint. But you still sin wickedly. Isn't that funny? You're now a saint, but you sin. Did you know that saints sin? I mean, there are Christians that are still depressed. Does anybody know any? There's three of them in this room. There are. There are three Christians in this room that are wicked. Did you know that? Do you want me to point them out? Okay. I'll just let you guess. But they're sitting amongst you. Say, they're not up here. It's not me. I'm not wicked. What makes me good before God is that mercy. I believe in Jesus is my goodness. I'm not good, but he is. And he's good for me. I mean, he's not just good for me, but he's my goodness. Right? Your righteousness is hid with God in Christ. My righteousness isn't here. It's up there, upstairs. So, I like that mercy thing. What else is grace? It's not only mercy, but it's also what? It's something more than just mercy. So, here is the authority of this word here. Here he comes and he teaches, preaches with authority. So he's given me the word of God. Here he is, the presence of God, giving me the word of God. Amen? And it's merciful. This is a holy presence bringing a merciful truth. Beautiful. But there's something else to grace, and that is number three. What's that? Power. Authority and power. So he speaks with authority and he acts with power. He speaks with authority and he acts with power. Here he is present, and then he says something and does something. And the something makes people what? Worship God. Now, it could be phony worship, hypocritical. Could be hypocritical worship. Or it could be pure worship. Well, we're after pure worship, right? Now, if Jesus is the one that's present, and he speaks about mercy and power, so he's going to speak grace, He's going to speak grace. And because there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles and all of that, they'll confirm the word. So they confirm that this Jesus who spoke these words has authority, and to prove it, here's the power. So that'll be the proof. That'll be the evidence. That'll be the sign. Then you'll know. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true. What he said is true, because look, it happened. And everybody that sees that number three worships God. What's wrong with that picture? Jesus would, you know, he'd say something, I am the Son of God, or God loves you, or whatever. Then he'd heal somebody. Boom. Every knee would bow. Every tongue confessed. Right away. They were right there. When you do a miracle, if I were to do a miracle right now, everybody believe. Okay, roof, fly off. You know, and if it happened, everybody go, yeah, that was powerful. And they'd be back next week, you know, bringing people. Well, whatever Pastor Jim says, it happens. You know, that would be powerful. You know what I'm saying? But they wouldn't believe me because of the word. They would believe me because of the miracle. They weren't worshiping Jesus because they believed his words. It was because his words were attended with signs and wonders. They believed the sign. He said to Thomas once, he said, you know, Thomas, you believe because you've now put your finger in my side and you've poked into me and you've actually seen it. Number three, that's why you worship me. But blessed are those that believe only because of the word. It would be better if you didn't believe because you saw something, but because you heard something. You see that? Blessed are if you believe, because without faith you can't please God. But a lot of Christians are only following their pastors or their prophets or their priests or their whatevers because they've seen some signs and wonders, some glorious stuff. If I'd pull a rabbit out of the hat and people say, wow, that's incredible, God is definitely with him. But what if I just declare the word and then there's no power, no sign, no wonder, no confirmation? Then no one would follow. So it's important for God to make sure that when the man of God speaks, a little power happens right there. Then people would believe. But Jesus said that's hypocrisy. Because the only reason you believed is because I fed you. The only reason you believed is because I did something. I walked on water. The only reason you believe is not because of the words I spoke, but because of the deeds that were done. And that's where other con artists get in there, and they try to produce a few miracles, and then, yeah, they copy it. And then, hey, I'm going to believe in him. I got a healing the other night. They healed my finances. They gave me a word and said I was going to be rich from now on. And my, you know, everything was going to go my way. Well, you might as well go down and get a good fortune cookie. You can get a good fortune cookie, you see. And it'll say something silly like that. Hey, this is your day, and so on. And then something good happens. You go, wow, I'm buying more of those cookies. Right? So you got to be careful, because what God wants is not you to believe in him because of the miracle, but because of the word. Did you hear what I just said? It's immature to believe in God because you saw something. It's more mature if you heard his word and then without a sign believed. Now I'll give you an example. The cross. Let's say Jesus was hanging on the cross and the Pharisee said to him, if you're really the Son of God, you say you're the Son of God? Okay. If you really are, come down. And I'll believe. And all you had to do is come down. And everybody immediately would have bowed. Hallelujah. He'd have had the whole crowd. They'd all been hypocrites. The only reason they would have come down is because he came down. They didn't believe him because of the word. They thought his word was nothing. They thought his word was nothing. So the truth sets you free, not the miracle. Hello? Most people want miracles. And when they see them, they're easily deceived. Easily deceived. Because you have to test everything by the word to see whether it be of God. So a lot of people follow pastors and prophets and evangelists because they see signs and wonders. It's very shallow. I'll tell you, it's shallow. You can have 1,000 people come that night just because they saw something. But it isn't the word that convicted them. It was the sign, the wonder, the miracle. Anybody will believe based on that. But the next week, those people all will have fallen back into adultery, back into witchcraft, back into works, back into their normal life. Did you know a lot of people come, get saved, and then pretty soon they're back in sin again? I mean, that's not the purpose of the church. Did you all follow me so far? All right, now, a lot of Christians are not giving pure worship to God. If that's the goal, pure worship has to be nothing of me and all just Jesus. And it's not going to come from the signs and the wonders. And all the people glorified God because of what they saw. Yeah, but what about what they heard? So this is prior to this is prior to this. Otherwise, this. You know, the Jews said to Jesus, every time the Jews were present with him, they always said to him, hey, just give us a sign. Prove that your authority is greater than ours. Prove it. So all Jesus had to do was, you know, walk on water or something, and then he'd have won. But he didn't do it. He actually wouldn't go into a contest with him. He just said, I'm right. Well, prove it. Because we've been around for 1,500 years. You're just starting today. You're a youngster. You're just new, brand new to the process. We've been around for a long time. We got synagogues all over the place and stuff. What do you got? I've got a couple fishermen. Oh my gosh. You're a ragtag bunch. How many of them been to Yale? That'd be something impressive. How many have a Harvard degree? I mean, you know, what do you got? I mean, how much money you guys got? Well, you know, I'm not a mega church yet. I mean, know that Jesus, if he'd have just done a few tricks, he'd have got a mega church. He'd have had everybody eating out of his hand. Y'all following this? If you don't follow two with three, you're going to have a smaller crowd. In fact, you might end up dead. So they killed Jesus because he wouldn't do the trick. Remember, they said, come on down. Come on down right now. We'll believe in you. See? They were offering him. Could have done it. I would have done it. I would have come down and say, okay, you're all going to believe in me? I'd just come down like that. They'd all bowed. You see that? Because you have the power behind you. If the policeman has no gun, he has no power, and there's no one behind him, it's just another person. Hey, pull over. No. Pull over yourself. You see what I'm saying? It's only because he has a gun, and then there's other policemen he might call on the phone and, you know, come after me. That's the reason I fear him. Because when I'm speeding, I want to. You know? But I fear the person that has authority of the badge and backs it up. Has the whole, you know, state against me. Whole world. They back those guys up. But if you're not looking, I might just cheat. Because I don't fear just authority. I only fear it if it's backed up. Did you hear what I just said? So that's why Jesus came with authority. And they even said it. They said, wow, he speaks like one having authority. Wow, what he's saying it's not works. He's saying it's grace. That's powerful teaching. So they killed him for that. Because he didn't back it up. I wished he'd have backed it up. If he wanted to get his gospel going, he should have backed it up. Instead, he died. You see that? What a way to, pitiful, what a pitiful ending. He's telling, hey, God is merciful to sinners. God is merciful to sinners. Well, the Jews didn't like that. That was offensive to them. Hey, wait a minute. You cannot show mercy to people that don't deserve it. There was a harlot once. And Jesus was eating in the Pharisee home, Simon. It's in the scripture for today. And he came in and he said, hey, Simon, you see this woman right here? She's crying and washing my feet and loving me. You know what Simon was thinking? You call that a man of God? He didn't even know what kind of woman that was. She's a prostitute. She's a whore. She's no good. If Jesus really were a prophet, a holy man, he would have spotted her in a minute and shooed her away. Jesus showed her mercy. Not only that, he told a little parable. He told a little story. He said, hey, Simon, let me ask you a question. There was a man, a certain creditor, meaning someone certain. There was a man, he had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence. The other owed him 50. And he told them, pay up. And they both came to him and said, well, Lord, we don't have anything to pay. We've eaten ice cream and stuff and blown it all. And what did he say? He said, well, if you haven't, I got to take everything from you. Just could you have mercy on us? And it said, the creditor forgave them both. Isn't that a neat story? But it had a little meaning to it. Here was the meaning. He said, Simon, let me ask you a question. Who do you think of the two debtors who were both forgiven loved him the most? The one that he forgave the 50 or the one that forgave 500 pence? What do you think? That's easy, Simon said. The one that was forgiven the most would love him the most. The one that was forgiven just a little bit would love him less. Jesus said to him, you've answered perfectly. That was perfect. You answered exactly correctly. Now, what Simon didn't understand was it was about him. Simon didn't understand. It was a trick. The woman who was an adulteress, a something terrible person, or maybe just a prostitute. I don't know what she was, but whatever she was nasty. And she was sinful, but here she was kissing Jesus' feet. Not to do him a good work, but because she'd heard that there was mercy for her. And how much did she owe? The Pharisee looked over at her and said, 500 on her. That's a 500 denarii woman. She owes a lot to God. She's in big time debt. Unclean. I mean, no, there are people in your life that don't deserve mercy. They're so rotten to the core. No good. They don't deserve mercy. And here Jesus is giving the stuff away. Yeah, you just forgive them both. Which one will love him the more? And then he pointed out to the guy, he said, you know what? Ever since I came into your house, you didn't wash me. This woman's been wetting me with her tears. You didn't do anything. This woman's been taking care of me here, her hair drying me off. And, you know, she's just been kissing my foot the whole time. And she loves me. And Simon got the picture, yeah, because she owes 500. I only owe 50. He said, you didn't do any of that, Simon. But the truth was, she owed 50 and he owed 500. He just didn't know it. He didn't know what a rotten sinner he was because he had no mercy. Whereas she had mercy. And she accepted his mercy. And she believed that God, who's the guy who decides what's clean and unclean, what's right and wrong, that God loved her. And therefore, she wasn't paying him back. She was thanking him. She was so grateful that Jesus had showed her, number two, mercy, and said, that's why I came to save the sinner. She said, well, I am one. She's not arguing that she's a 500 or a 50. She just knows that, you know, she's, we're a sinner, she knows. And everybody agrees, even Simon agrees. But actually, the truth is, God, she would have gotten into the kingdom of God before he would have. You know why? Because he was a hypocrite and a Pharisee and a phony. And because he was self-righteous and was putting up his own righteousness, she wasn't putting up any righteousness. She said, I'm no good. But you say something about mercy, I'm taking it. And she was right there thanking him for what he did. Simon thought, I don't need any help because I only owe 50 and I can easily pay because I'm a good Jewish teacher. I'm a good Jewish Pharisee. You see, he missed it. He missed it. How many know now? Are you the woman owing 500 or are you the Pharisee owing 50? How many? It's easy to find out. I have to ask one at a time. That's why I don't like being married to Peg. Everything I do, she ruins it. So what's the deal? What's the deal? Just ignore what Peggy said. Just ignore it. What's the deal? What's the deal? So he turns to the woman and he says to her, your sins have been forgiven. Go in peace. Isn't that amazing? Your sins have been forgiven. He just tells her. Even though Simon was judging her. So who was right? The woman that was sinful and repented, or the man that judged her and felt he had no need of repentance, or very little? She loved him much. That's how you can tell who a Christian is. A Christian is someone that loves Jesus with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, and they don't care about anything else. They're so in love, they don't really care. But someone who's still holding out against someone else and says, well, my husband, well, my wife, well, my pastor, well, my this and my that. They're worried and nervous and judgmental and critical. You don't know. You can't worship. You're too busy judging everybody. Simon was actually the 500 guy. He just didn't know it. Full of fear, anger, bitterness. Felt cheated. She felt that, you know, she didn't deserve anything. She just couldn't believe Jesus was offering mercy to someone that didn't deserve it. How many know you don't deserve mercy? You do not deserve mercy. How many know this? I mean, know it. I mean, I don't mean just head knowledge, but I mean, you know it. My God. Whoa. I'm taking it because I don't have a leg to stand on. I don't have any hope. If you don't offer me this number two thing without any sign or wonder, just offer it to me. I'll worship you just based on number two. She didn't need any miracle for her. He just said, your sins are forgiven. Just told her right there, hey, by the way, you're not doing a good work that I'm rewarding. I'm just loving you for no reason at all. I know you don't deserve it, and you know it too, and that pleases me. You know, looking at me, being present with you, holy, you're not like me, and you're worshiping me because you know I'm holy and you're not, and you'll take my mercy. Jesus said, I'll tell you, there's nothing that pleases me more than to give my holiness to you who don't deserve it, mercifully. Jesus does not want to pay the Pharisee for doing good works. He wants to pay the woman who couldn't do a good work. Nothing. He just wanted to give it to her. No reward at all. Just give it to her. And that pleased him. You know, so they killed him. The woman didn't kill him. You know who killed him? The Pharisee. Now, had Jesus done a miracle, the Pharisee might have changed his mind. But it had been a hypocrite. His worship was hypocritical. A lot of the worship in the churches today is hypocritical. They don't worship God because they don't love God. Because they're not grateful that they're sinners that have been forgiven by grace. They feel like, you know, they're pretty good people. Now, I know nobody here does because we have mostly sinners in this church. Probably 100%. Could I see a show of hands of all the wicked, nasty, selfish sinners? And the people you're married to are wicked too. Amen. See, that's real obvious. That's obvious. You know what I mean? I mean, when you get married, you can go, you can choose between one wicked person and another. That's your choice right there. Let me think now. I'm going to choose this one here who's selfish and nasty and will never be able to control me. Did you know people don't like to be controlled? They like to control others but not be controlled themselves. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Imagine someone trying to control someone else. Get a dog. Get a goldfish. You're not going to control a people. I mean, you can't control people. You'll have to despise them and look down on them as that Pharisee did that woman. But Jesus is going to show mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it. He's only going to give it. He will never, ever lord someone he doesn't save. Did you hear me? He will never lord someone he doesn't save. And he will never save anyone except a wicked sinner. Okay. I'm going to write it on the board, in fact. I'm going to write it on the board because I want to show you something about Jesus. This Jesus, people didn't exactly know who he was. But I'm going to give him three titles here. The first title is Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet. So if he's a prophet, what does he do? He convicts of sin. Okay? He's holy, so he'll convict that you're not. Convict me of sin. Okay? Convict me of sin. That's his first job. Second job, he is a merciful Savior. Merciful Savior. That's second job. He will forgive anyone who sins. So he forgives those he convicts. He forgives sinners. Third, he is a glorious, all-powerful king. Glorious king. And what do kings do? Well, they don't convict of sin, and they don't forgive sinners. So what do kings do? They restore. They restore everything to God's original purpose. God's original purpose. In other words, they do the will of God. They do the will of God. And so a king is going to rule and reign over us and change us if we need to by the power of the Holy Ghost. Here, he's going to die on the cross for us as the Lamb of God. And here, he's going to be the holy example that gets killed right here because he's holy. And because he's merciful. And because he won't use his power to destroy us, but to restore us. But he won't restore whom he doesn't save, and he won't save who isn't a sinner. You have to be a sinner to be saved, and you have to be saved to be sanctified. Did you see that? So everybody wanted Jesus to be a king. Even the Jews said, hey, jump down right now, beat up a few Romans, you got us. We'll follow you to the ends of the earth. Just show a little power. All Jesus had to do was come off of there and say, give me a couple centurions, bump their heads like that, speak a word, knock them down. That would have been powerful. That would have been powerful. Anybody would have believed in him. Those Jewish people would have loved it. Hey, up with the Jews, down with the Romans. Up with the Jews, down with the Romans. Yeah, they'd have loved it. Any king that will give you, fill your belly, give you good wealth, give you good health. I mean, anybody will worship such a king. A lot of churches sell that kind of thing. A lot of churches sell it that way. Hey, you want to be healthy and wealthy and fulfilled and happy without dying? You don't even have to even give up your flesh? Come to this church. And they appeal to the flesh. Here, we don't. That's why we're thin. Look, this whole group abandoned me. They don't like that preaching. Second row, too. You're new. You didn't know any better, but you're sitting in the wrong row. I lost the whole front row over here, too. Because people don't want to hear that kind of message. They want to have a king that will do what they want, and it's all bodily flesh. They don't want someone to save their sins. They don't want someone to show them they're wicked. That's really what Jesus came to do, and that's why they killed him. They killed him because he wanted to show everybody that they were wicked. Hey, we're not wicked. You are. They said, So they killed him because he wouldn't do what they wanted. How many know that we want leaders that'll do what we say? Now, think about that. I want a leader that I'll submit to if I can control him. That's like a wife marrying a man that she says, I'll submit to you the minute I can control you. There's something funny about that. There's something funny about that. Hey, I'm not submitting to you because I can't control you. Imagine submitting to somebody that you want to control. That's a contradiction in terms. That is funny. I think women are crazy. They are crazy. Don't you agree with me, guys? No, guys aren't crazy. It's just women are crazy because they marry men. Guys are unreliable. That's the reason they won't follow them, because they're not Jesus. Oh, would you follow if it was Jesus? Oh, yes. Oh, no. Because you want everything your way. You don't want to be controlled by Jesus, because you could stay in the marriage you're in and be controlled by Jesus and be happy just because of Jesus. Amen. Hello! Amen. Now, they kill you for this kind of message. See, it's not a good message. It's not a good message. It's not a good message. That's why that's row left. Jesus won't king anyone he doesn't save, and he won't save anyone that isn't wicked to the hilt, and he convicts them so that they have to confess. I am wicked beyond measure. Now, I know a few of you are actually wicked beyond measure. I really do. I know that. I thank God. Most of them are on this side of the church. Wicked beyond measure. I mean, I'm just looking around at the faces. Okay. Oh, yeah, I see one here. There's one on this side, too. One. There's one on this side. Now, so God wants to love sinners, and you know, they didn't want to hear that. Hey, don't tell us we're sinners. That's why they killed him. And don't tell us you're going to be king over those that you save. What do we need saving for? Just join us. He just wants to transform you. He wants to get all the wickedness out of you. I don't have that much wickedness in me. I'm not like this prostitute woman. I'm not like this worthless person. I'm somebody. I'm somebody. I'm not a pig, a slob, a nothing, a worthless. How many know that people think that if they don't say it? I say it out loud, but most people are thinking it. I'm better than that person. I'm not that bad. I need a little forgiveness, but not a lot. But Jesus said, unless you're forgiven a lot, you won't love a lot. And if you don't love a lot, you're not of his. You're not of his. And one of the things is not to look down on and despise people, but show them mercy, number two. That's why Jesus came preaching as a holy prophet, you're not. And as a savior, I just forgave you all your sin, though. And as a king, now I want to transform you and lord you and get rid of all the sin out of your soul and your life as well. Not in the world to come, but in this world. How many know that Jesus wants to get rid of the sin right here, now? How many know, well, I can't go that far, Pastor. I want to keep my sin, my good ones. How many want to keep some of your good sins? You got some handy ones. I mean, they're good ones. And you only bring them out when the other person deserves them. I mean, you're not going to bring them out at a wrong time. How many know that you got to save a few just to get even? And a few toward God when he doesn't do what you want him to do. How many know that you're going to submit to God as long as he'll submit to you? I don't know. There's something funny going on there. So Jesus had a message that didn't fly. Who do you think you are? We are the authorities here. You gotta prove you're good. And he said, okay, convict me of sin. We can't think of anything. Oh, you're a blasphemer. Yeah, what did I blaspheme? Well, you didn't agree with us. How many of the people don't agree with you are sinners? If somebody doesn't agree with me, they're rotten. They're stupid. Anybody that doesn't agree with me, I just don't like them. But anybody that agrees with me, you're okay. You're okay. So Jesus came and ruined the whole earthly business by saying he was holy And even challenged them. Okay, what sin have I committed? Pilate even said, I didn't find any. And the Jews couldn't think of one. So they just invented one. They just created one. Well, you're a blasphemer. Why? Because I said I was equal to God? Because I am? Yeah. I mean, you're not. But you say you are, but you're not. Okay, what do you want me to do to prove it? Do a trick. Nah, I'm not going to do it. I've already spoken to you. Well, okay, you're dead then. We're going to kill you. How many know that Jesus knew they were going to kill him? He even said that to him. He said, you're going to kill me because you say I have a devil and I say you do. So it's a war right there. Who? You say we have a devil? See, you could tell they didn't. And so Jesus said, you know, you guys are of Satan, your father. If you were of the Lord, if you were of God, you would do the things Abraham did. Moses wrote of me. He looked at my day and saw it and rejoiced. He declared I was the prophet, John the Baptist. Everybody saw all those signs. If signs did it, you would all bow down and worship me. I'm not doing any more signs. You know the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. This generation seeks a sign, I'll give you a sign. I'll let them kill me. 3 days, 3 nights, belly of the whale. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 days, 3 nights. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be in the belly. He'll be handed over by y'all. And then he'll jump up again. But when he jumped up again, he never showed himself to the Pharisees. Never showed themselves to the high priest. I would have. First thing I'd have done when I come back is, I would have done it. I'd have had about 50,000 angels with me too. Go get them. Surround them. And I'm going to poke them one by one. Now, you know, I mean, I would have. And you know what? Next time Jesus comes back, he's going to. He's going to come back. He's going to come back with glory, power, majesty. You will now see his glory and every knee will bow. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, and they're all going to know because all their sins are going to be revealed at once because the glory will be obvious. But I'll tell you what, we're not going to be hypocritically bowing and speaking empty words like that because we're going to know. You know what? He loved me when I was yet a sinner. That's my Jesus. I've been talking to him every day of my life. I've been thanking him and praising him and worshiping him every day of my life. And Jesus is going to know us. He's going to say, yeah, that's one of mine. Yeah, he's going to say, come on, you're not on my left side, you're on my right side. Enter into the joy of your master. Come on, come on. Yee-hoo! And we're going to go marching in. It's going to be, Joe, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. You'll be there too? Yahoo! We'll be walking in together. Is that okay? Amen. It'll be powerful. Did you all know that you're wicked beyond measure? Apart from him. Now, in him, you can do all things. You can do anything. You can have all the power you want in him. The only thing is you have to want what he wants. I forgot to tell you that part. You can't just do your own thing, like kill her. You know, you can't do that. You can only want what he wants, which is to show mercy like he did, show up like he did. You know, stop running. Show up. Here I am. I never leave. Did you see that? I'm not going anywhere. Well, I'm going to Uganda. I'm going to Uganda to get away. No, I don't need time to get away. I want to go to Uganda. I don't know why. It's just Joel forced me. Joel said, Pastor Jim, you are going to Uganda. I said, I don't like Uganda. You don't have good water. You don't have good food. You have bugs. They have bugs over there. And they get inside of you. No. You see, you do what Jesus says. It's not my will, but thine be done. God says, you're going. He doesn't care. He doesn't regard me. No, He says, you don't know what you're talking about, Jim. Let me live your life. Let me guide you. Amen? Now he's got, last time I was there, he had 300 married couples. 300 married couples to hear the married couple teaching. This time I think he's going to have twice that. It's going to be huge. Then he's got 2 days just for men only. How many know men are the problem? How many know men are the problem? And so he had it the other way, 2 days for the marrieds. Then he thought, no, let's get the men. And so he said, what you're saying right here, tell that to my men. Break them. Bust them. Why? Because men, you know, in Africa, the man walks out in front. The woman trails behind. Did you know that? And they're not used to this new idea that women are equal. They're not used to that. They're not into that. They're not used to that. They don't like that. So they got them, you know, trailing way behind. And he can't hear. So he wants me to go over and you know, retrain them. Hey, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It'll be powerful. All those Africans will hate me. They'll hate me. They'll have a big pot right there. And I'll be in there and they'll be stirring me up. We're going to eat him for breakfast, you know. But the wives will be back there. Hang, ha, yeah. I'm going to have all the women on my side. No, he wants teaching so that his people will not just hear the gospel preached, but teached. Why? Because teaching is what they need. They don't need signs and wonders and miracles. They got plenty of that. They don't need the preaching. They got plenty of that. They're already ready. They just don't know how to be transformed, number three. So the power that they need is the power of that word coming into their lives to transform them, not just signs and wonders and miracles. It's different kinds of power. There's transforming power, the power of his resurrected life inside of them to transform them. You know why? Because we're not good people until Jesus kills us. How many are here today to be transformed, killed, the old man dead, dead unto sin, alive unto God in Christ Jesus? I tell you, take up your cross and follow me. That's Christianity. That's something that the world could see. They don't need a miracle and a sign if they would see that. Here's how they'll know, Jesus said, if you love one another. See, it's back to that love thing. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. He that hath been forgiven much loveth much. So we're not after sinners to destroy them. We're after sinners to destroy them. But not the way you thought. Not to destroy them physically, but to destroy them with love. With Jesus' power. Because men don't know how to rule. John, you don't know what you're doing. You know that? Nick, you don't know what you're doing. Nick, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to make that woman happy. It's frustrating. This is impossible. It's impossible. You should have chosen more wisely. No. It's a good thing you can't hear. You just saved yourself a lot of trouble. What? What's that? That's the old guy trick. Now, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Now, here's something funny. Jesus actually, by authority, said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. By the time you get to heaven, you will look and act perfectly from the heart. From the heart. But in here, in this life, you don't see it right away. There's a gap between 2 and 3. You see the crucifixion. Do I have to go? Okay. It's Peggy who's submitting to me. And she can dominate me at the same time as submitting. It's powerful. No, that's what I told her to do. Because I'm addicted. I mean, when you're addicted, you don't know what you're doing. God's good. Now, Jesus came, he told John, you know, tell John, I know he's going to die, But tell John, first of all, the blind see. Number three. Now notice what these look like. The sick are healed. The lame walk. The dead are raised. I'm telling you, that is impressive. Show him those signs. And then he added a seventh one. I didn't name them all, but they're all along the same thing. Those that have demons are set free and so on. But here's another one. And blessed is he that's not offended in me. You know that when we see a man of God, we're offended. Because he's teaching good news rather than bad news. If I want to grow a big church, I would have a legalistic church. Or I'd have a licentious church. But I don't agree with either. I don't want you to be licentious, and I don't want you to be legalistic. But I don't have any power. All I have is the Word. All I have is the Word. I'm just telling you the good news. I can't make anybody believe it or anybody want to believe it or anybody do anything about it. I don't have any power. I have none. And I don't want any. I'm so busy working on myself, I don't have time to work on y'all. I'm sorry. I should have been better prepared, but I'm not. I have a sin every day in my life. Anybody like me? I mean, it is so bad that every day I come up with another one. And some days I repeat the same one I had the day before. Can you believe it? Isn't that amazing? And I have to every day rehearse this thing that Jesus showed up on the earth for me to love me. And then he gave me good news. And then I hated him and killed him before he got to that number three. And then he rose from the dead and said, I did this for Jim. Forgave me again. Unbelievable. And the proof of it is not number three, miracles and signs. The proof of it is that he's actually changed my life. I'm happier. I'm freer. Because he forgave me so much. I didn't deserve it. I still don't. I still am naughty every day. Joe, I'm not like you are. I'm not. I'm horrible. I'm just a horrible person. And the worst of, is it? I love it. I love it. I just feel like I'm a natural. I just feel like I'm a natural. But, you know what? I believe Jesus loves me. Just the way I am, unfixed up. I don't believe I have to lift a finger. I don't believe I have to feel guilty. I believe he took my guilt, and then I believe he promised that he would give me the Holy Spirit, baptize me. I just think he's doing all that stuff. Blessed is he that's not offended in me. I'm not offended in him. You see, here's what offended means. The Greek word is scandalon. Does anybody can hear that word? It's like scandal. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. It's the word scandalon. Blessed is he that's not scandalized by me. But here's the meaning of the Greek word. It's not just like that. Like, oh, you scandalize me. No, what it is because you forgive sinners, you're making me now kill you. And now I'm going to produce a wrong thing. You're stumbling me. And the word scandal means trigger. Trigger. It's like having a trap for a skunk. And you have the little trap there, and there's a little trigger that if the skunk goes to take the bait, the little trigger's hit, and boom. You got the little squirrel or the skunk or whatever the thing is you don't want. Yeah, we get possums in our yard. Has anybody got possums? They're big old things. They hiss at you. Boom. But anyway, we have to trap them every once in a while and take them, you know, to the park a few miles away and let them go. But what you got, he's got to hit that little trigger, so we put little food in there that he likes. And he likes just about anything. But anyway, we put that food in there. And he's messy and dirty little thing. But he'll go for that, hit the trap. Well, what they were saying was, Jesus is like a trigger on a trap. And because of the way he behaved himself, he made them get nasty and bad when they were nice people. So he caught them. Because they said, we're not like this harlot. And he said, you're worse. And he trapped them. And they killed the Son of God. And they said, they were doing God a favor. They said they were good people. He said, you're nasty, wicked people. And then they killed him to prove how innocent they were. You know, is that funny or what? We'll prove to you that we're good people. And killed him. Don't you think that's funny of religion? Religion, to prove that it's right, kills off all the people who don't agree with it. Don't you think that's beautiful? That's what the Crusades were all about. Kill those Muslims. Kill them. That's a big thing in America today. Kill them all. They're no good. How many know that Jesus loves Muslims? He doesn't love them because they're Muslim. He just loves them because they're people. But he loves them because they're wicked and sinful and rotten and no good. He doesn't love Jews and hate Muslims. He hates Jews. Did y'all know that? He hates them. No, he doesn't. He hates what they do. He hates what they say. He doesn't hate them. He loves them. And the reason that they're so bad is because they're us hiding. They bring it out what we hide. They're so awful. Sometimes they're so obnoxious and stubborn. Oh, stiff-necked. Man, for 2,000 years, they've been holding out against Jesus. Boy, there's a people that don't deserve mercy. Isn't that funny? They still say they're innocent and victims. Do y'all see this? They think they're victims. They don't think... Did you know that Jesus is the only victim in the world? Jesus is the only victim. How many think here you're a victim of something? Well, I've been victimized myself. Really? You don't know how oppressive my mom is. You don't know how oppressive my wife is. You don't know how oppressive my husband is. You know, and so people feel victimized. My grandmother dominated this family. You know, and people feel victimized like, you know, if only I'd had a better deal. How many know you come from a dysfunctional family? You know, your family is completely crazy dysfunctional. And so, therefore, that explains you. That explains why you're crazy and nutcase. Because look at your family that you came from. It's not your fault. You're a victim. No, you're not. You're wicked. You're just a wicked person, and you just had a good opportunity and a good occasion to come out and bring it out. You almost, you know, if you're a nasty person, you almost wish someone would just push your trigger. Just push it. Yeah, I got you now. Is there anything like that in any of you all? Is there any, you're like, I'm glad you just said that. That's because there's a little trap I set up to make you do that so that I could hate you legit. Hello? You all following me? I mean, we are devious people. But some people are more obvious about it than others, but the sneaky ones, they're the best. They're sneaky. I'm a Christian. No, I don't hate anybody. I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray to God. Oh, the God. You know, so they sound so sweet. Watch out for the sweet ones. They're the ones that have that poison. They just lay that little trap in there and you fall for it. And then it brings out all your nastiness, and they love it. Ha! See, you are nasty. I proved it. And you're in that trap, and you're just feeling, I hate this trap. And see, they're bringing out all the nastiness to prove what they always knew in the first place. See, you are nasty, and that's why I hated you, and that's why I've been mean. But, of course, I'm innocent because I was only mean because you were mean, and see, I just proved it. Do you know how clever people are? Are you all aware of this? I mean, I'm not making this up. This is real life. I guarantee I get one of these at least a day, one a day. Someone will call up, and they'll tell the story. It's never about their rottenness. It's always about someone else's rottenness. It's never about their rottenness. Pastor, I just called up to say how rotten I am. I've never had that phone call. Actually, I have. But there are many people, because it's usually the other person. I just want to tell you something you don't probably know about somebody else. And when they're done telling that story, you hate them. You hate that other person. You're right. That person's a monster. And they don't deserve to live. Let's bring them here and strip them down and tie them and quarter them and, you know, whatever they used to do. Put them on the rack. We need a rack in the back of the church, you know. You know, the problem is you belong there. That's what Jesus is saying. I only came for sinners, and you all are. And I came to show you mercy, not judgment. That's Moses. I'm not given the law. I'm given grace and truth came through Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Here's the truth. God's never been mad at anybody. God never wanted anyone to be good. God never expected anyone to do anything right. God expected Jesus to do that, not you. And he did, and he did it for you. He let the captive go. He let you go. He let you go. That's why he said to that woman, go. Your sins have already been forgiven. Not go and don't sin anymore, or I'll maybe put this on you again. He just said, your sins are already forgiven. She went away thinking, wow, cool. That is cool. I'm loved by the holy God, the merciful God, the powerful God. What more is there? That's it. Hope you're blessed today. Hope you see the power of pure worship, which is not just hypocritical worship. And it only comes after the cross. Jesus had to die first. He didn't get the crown first. He had to die first before he could become king. He's king. Here's where he's king. Here's where he's king. He's king here. All the good works that are wrought in God, this is where he's king. Here's where he's king. There's his crown right there. The good works that you do under his kingship, they're not done by you. They're done by Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those deeds are wrought in God. They're not wrought in you. You didn't do them. You're not capable of doing good works. That's why here he convicted you, here he forgave you, and here he died for you, and here all the good works you've done, that was the risen Christ, Christ in you. This Christ is right here, risen in you. He is risen, risen indeed. Beautiful story. Pure worship then comes from all of this. Jesus went like this. Presence, authority, skip power, get killed, resurrect from the dead. That resurrection power comes back, produces pure worship. A little slight detour there between 2 and 3. If he had gone straight to 3, everyone would have worshipped him, but it had been hypocritical. I got to go now.